We're the Riley family from Calico Rock, Arkansas, and we're happy to be here.
Amen. In Alabama, I lived in Alabama for about 4 years, and I loved it. And my wife always thought we'd move back, and but she didn't tell me till after we was married for a couple years. So I said, "You should have told me earlier." Amen. No, God had other plans. And this is my sheep. No, this is my family. There's Maverick and Sydney's and what's your name? No, Remy, Lexi, and Ben, and my sweet wife Anya. And we are building a refuge in North Arkansas for preachers and missionaries and anybody that serves God's people. I've done a lot of different things and God in preparation for that ministry. And God, there's always a refuge for everybody else. But as a young preacher, my dad went on the road at 7 years old, and we traveled around and built churches. We actually built a church in Hartsville, Alabama. So we traveled around and built churches. So I was raised around preachers all my life. And I love preachers and their families. And so God gave me a burden for God's people. And so by the grace of God, we're building a place right now in North Arkansas. God's provided 300 acres to us to do this. And it's not paid for yet, but I believe God's going to pay it off. Amen. But he provided it. And he made the opportunity available. So we went to work. We kind of done it backwards. We went to work first. And now God's got us traveling. We preach and sing, of course. And so we're telling people about it. And we're letting you know that there's a place in Arkansas that you can come to and unplug and get with God. And that's what we want. We want to keep preachers in the pulpit. We want to keep missionaries on the mission field. We want to encourage God's people and keep them in the fight. And it is a fight. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, not against each other, but against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, and spiritual wickedness in high places. And I want to be an Aaron and Hur, and I want to lift up God's people and help them. That's pretty much in a nutshell what we're doing. We'll have special things all through the year for them. So we'll have a refuge side, and then we'll have meetings during the year where we'll just hone in on preachers' wives and have maybe a fellowship for them. And then we'll have preachers' boot camp so young preachers can come and preach. And we want to just really focus on different things to try to encourage and God's people. Young preachers need help. They need mentorship. And they can get a lot of knowledge, but they don't have the experience. And your preacher knows that. It ain't all what it's cracked up to be, is what they say. But, you know, people think they just want the glory. But there's a lot of warfare, and we need to encourage each other. The Bible says, "Forsake not the assembly of yourselves together, for the manner of some is." That's not just necessarily talking about coming to church and forsaking not this place. It is talking about that. But it's also talking about I shouldn't forsake him. I shouldn't forsake y'all. But we need each other so much more as you see the day approaching. We need to encourage each other. And that's what our ministry is. We're going to sing for you a little bit, and then I'll give you what God's laid upon our heart. Amen.
I know I'm saved this morning. Yeah.
Thank you.
Red is the only color that you can look through one red at another red, and it turns the second one white. Why? Because God designed that way. And His blood, though your sins be as scarlet, be white as snow. Why? Because His blood is applied to our life. When the Father looks through the blood of His Son, He sees us white as snow. Amen.
Thank you.
that he can hear.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm glad God makes intercession with groanings that cannot be understood sometimes. Sometimes you just cry and you don't know what to say. But I'm glad he understands it all. Amen. Amen. Knows exactly what we need. I appreciate that. Amen. Well, it's good to be here. What a blessing. I've been with your pastor many times, and a blessing to be with him in meetings, and Brother Tory's been there a couple times with him and seen him around, and he's been a blessing. I feel like we had a kindred spirit already, and we already had a friendship, but it's a blessing to be here this morning, brother, and I appreciate this opportunity. I don't take it lightly, and so I want to try to give you what God laid upon my heart. We'll be in Psalms chapter 126. Psalms chapter 126 this morning. We'll give you what God has laid upon our heart. In Psalm chapter 126, and I just really want to preach out of two verses here, and this is a very familiar passage with all of us, I believe, but I'm going to mind the Lord because he told me to preach on this, and I want to try to help the church, amen. I want to try to help you this morning. This helped me, and I want to try to help you this morning. In Psalms chapter 126, we'll start reading in verse 4. It says, "Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." He that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, I love you and thank you for your many blessings. And Lord, I pray that you would just have your will and way. Lord, you know the need here this morning. Lord, I don't, Lord. But Lord, I want you to have your will and way. I want you to have liberty here this morning. And Lord, I want you to heal the brokenhearted. Lord, I want you to help, Lord, those that are in need. Lord, I want you to help us, Lord, to draw closer to thee. And Lord, I want you to help us to take what we hear out of your word and the message you gave us and apply it to our lives. And Lord, so we can be vessels of honor for your honor and glory. And we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. So I began to pray and I looked at this verse and we've heard it many times. And God laid this upon my heart in verse 6, "He that goeth forth." And so we find here that there's action going on. And I'm going to try to break down this verse a little teaching, preaching this morning since it's Sunday school. And then we'll get ready for the worship hour. But he that goeth forth. Now that goeth forth means there's action happening.
Right.
That means somebody's moving, somebody's walking. That means somebody is expressing and talking. So he that goeth forth, and then it says weepeth and weepeth. Now that weepeth is, you know, you can weep even in joy. But this is a weeping of lamentations here. Right. This is a weeping of sorrow. This is a weeping for somebody. This is, you know, we can have joyful tears and we can be happy and that somebody got born again, got saved, and you can be crying because of that. But that's not the application here. But he said, "He that goeth forth weeping," and then it says, "bearing precious seed."
Right.
Bearing precious seed. So you find that there's limitations here. There's a burden here. There's a need. And when's the last time you actually had a burden for somebody? When's the last time you wept and cried over a sinner? When's the last time you prayed and said, "God, give me somebody to witness to. God, give me a burden. God, I found that you," according to this verse right here, that he said it is effective if you weep. And he says, "He that goeth forth weeping shall doubtless come again." And then he says, "bearing precious seed." Now this bearing is a load. There's a burden. despairing. If one of y'all was to break your leg or something while you was hiking, somebody else would have to carry you. They would have to carry the burden. They would have to help you. And so what you have here, he says, he that goeth forth weeping, and then it says, bearing precious seed. Now this seed should cause you to have a burden.
Right.
And I want to talk about this seed this morning, but we should have a burden every time that this seed is involved in our lives, and it should be involved every day. We should have a burden, and we should look at people not through our eyes, but through God's eyes.
Right.
You say, how do I have a burden? Well, you see people through God's eyes. And you, instead of looking through your eyes, you see somebody that's a drunkard. You see somebody that's an alcoholic. Somebody that's on drugs. And we always say, well, look at that crackhead that's twitching. Or look at that drunkard that can't walk straight. But God looks at them as a soul. And God looks at them through their eye, through his eyes. God looks at them as a soul that needs to be born again. And somehow along the line, we as church people have left that and lost the burden. We quit weeping over souls and we've lost our burden. We look at things as a negative way, as, well, they shouldn't be doing that or they shouldn't be doing this. Hey, sin is in this world and it's running rapid. But they need help. Somebody needs a burden. Somebody needs to tell them about Jesus. And there ought to be burdens. You ought to look at people as a soul and not as a physical body and what they're doing. You ought to say, God can change your life. My dad was a drunkard. My dad was an alcoholic. He was on drugs. And he spent mom's paycheck and his. And drinking and partying all over the weekends. But I tell you what, that God, somebody had a burden for him. Somebody brought a preacher over and he got born again and it changed his life. If somebody didn't have a burden for him, where would I be today? Amen. So you see, this bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again. Let me just say, the seed, when it's born the right way and there's weeping and limitations involved, then it says it doubtless will come again. The Bible says that his word will not come back void, but it will accomplish that which it was put forth. And it says, shall come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with them. Okay, so what we have here is a picture of a field that has barley or wheat in it. And these sheaves are, y'all remember, you kids remember the story of Joseph and how Joseph's sheaves would bow down to his brothers. And he got in trouble for all of that. What they would do is they were wheat farmers, and they would go out and cut this wheat, and then they would have to put these wheat together, and they would bind them together. They would bind them together in bundles, and then they would actually either carry them, or they would put them on a cart or on a donkey, and they would harvest them that way. And so you find that he has this dream, and just like today, we do hay at our place. So we cut the hay and we bale it, and then we try to sell it to raise money for the ministry. But those hay bales sit in the field, but they have to be picked up and they have to be moved. And it takes labor, it takes work to do this. And it takes hours. So what's happening here is he said, he that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. And so I believe these sheaves are a picture of people. And it's a process of planting a seed. It's a process of watering. And it's a process of salvation, of God saving somebody. And then I believe that this sheaves, this binding of the sheaves, that they would bind these sheaves together and they would carry them in. And I believe a good discipleship is what new Christians need in order to bind them together so they don't fall apart. If you was to cut wheat and just pile it up and then try to pick it up, you would lose all of your product. You would lose so much and you'd be struggling with it. So they would bind this wheat together in order that it would stay together and there would be unity. And they would be able to get the harvest and bring it in. So we see, first of all, I want to look in, we have precious seed. I want to talk about the seed a little bit and it kind of give you an idea of what's going on here. So he said, he that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed. Isaiah, look over in Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah chapter 11. Let's see what this precious seed is talking about. I like the book of Isaiah, amen. It's the little bitty Bible is what it is. And it's got so much in it. Well, you find here that in chapter 11 and verse 1, it says, "And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots." And then you find in verse 10, "And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people, and to it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious." Who's he talking about here? Well, let's go to Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53, you find in verse 1, it says, "Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? He shall grow up as up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form, no comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised, rejected of men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief. And we hid as it was our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs, he has carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." Who's that talking about? That's talking about our Savior, amen? You say, well, this is a precious seed. You'll find that this seed was also a promised seed. He's talking about this stem would come out of Jesse. This root would come out of Jesse. And you find that this seed is all the way back in Genesis 1. All the way back in Genesis 1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And you find back in Genesis, just turn over there, Genesis 1 a minute. I want to explain to you, Genesis 1, it says right here, that in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. You find right here in these few verses, you have the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. All right here in one. And you find in verse 11, "And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit yielding yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so." You find what happens here is a seed was in itself. This is a picture of the Trinity of God being one, the Father, Son, the Holy Ghost. The seed was in itself. And if you've been born again this morning, the seed is within you. Amen? If you've been born again. And so we find that this is a promised seed. Since we're in Genesis, go to Genesis chapter 17. We're just talking about seed this morning. We're talking about the importance of sharing it and how precious it is. Amen? Genesis chapter 17. I'll get there here in a minute. Genesis chapter 17. We find in verse 7. We'll read verse 7 and 8. It says, and this is, of course, this is God talking to Abraham. And he says, "I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in this generation," or in their generation, "for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession. And I will be their God." He's talking about Israel there. And then you find in verse 19, it says, "And God said, Sarah, thou..." Let me read verse 18. And it says, "Abraham said unto God, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee." God rejected. That was not God's plan, by the way. And it says right here, "And God said, Sarah, thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him." We've had this promise seed. And we find this in Isaiah also, that he said there would be a virgin and she would conceive and bring forth a son, and she'll call his name Emmanuel. And then you find in Luke 1 that there was not a corruptible seed, but she was a virgin. Mary was a virgin. No man had touched her, But the seed was planted in her by the Holy Ghost. That's why the Bible says that being born again in 1 Peter, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. I'm born again this morning because of a pure and holy Lamb of God that was a seed that was pure and without spot and without blemish. And that was planted in by the Holy Ghost inside of Mary. And Mary birthed that seed. And that seed was raised and died on an old rugged cross and was buried and rose again and paid for my sins and rose again. And I put my faith and trust in God. I'm talking about a precious seed that we just read about in Isaiah 53. You have the precious seed. You have the promised seed. And then you have a powerful seed. Oh, a powerful seed. Do you realize in Genesis 1 it says the seed was in itself? You know, I've had people ask me stupid questions. Did the chicken come first or the egg? You know, well, it's right there. Read your Bible. It's in Genesis 1. The seed was in itself. Amen. That God was the only one that was able to do that, by the way. I want to see you try to come up with a seed by yourself. The seed was in itself because God said it and it was so. God spoke it, and it was so. And whether you believe it or not, that's just the way it is. Like it or lump it, it doesn't matter. God made it. God created this world, and God said it was so. And I can find eternal security in a blade of grass. Why? Because He said it was so. That so is eternal. That so is a word that goes forward. When somebody says, "And it was so," like that, that's a continuous word. So you can go out here and cut this grass out here. And guess what? It's going to grow back.
Right.
You can go out here and burn this grass, and guess what? It's going to grow back. You can go out here and spray some grass killer upon it. Wait a little while. Why? It's going to come back. Why? Because God said the seed was in itself, and He said it was so. And because He said it was so, the grass still grows, the trees still grow, and this planet is still going just like God designed it to back in Genesis. Why? Because He was God. He was God, and that proves that He was God, and the seed was in itself. All right, look over to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. I want to talk about the importance of this seed and the power of the seed. You have in Matthew chapter 13, you have, and I'll just go ahead and read this. And so many of y'all know this parable, and this parable of the sower. You know, some of you look at the top of your Bible. Does some of you say parable of the souls? Souls, parable of the souls. Some people says that. Mine says that, parable of the souls. But look in verse 18. I'll just go ahead. That's why you got to study your Bible. In verse 18 of chapter 13, this is Jesus talking. He, hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. God said this is a parable of the sower. So you can't trust man. You gotta get in this Bible, and you gotta study it and make sure God said in His own words this was a parable of the sower. That's just a side note for you. But I find that comical that they put parable of souls up there. It's talking about souls, and we'll read those real quick. And chapter 13, the same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and a great multitude were gathered together unto Him, so that He went into a ship. And set, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And He spake many things unto them in parables, saying, "Behold, a sower went forth to sow." You know what you got sitting over there? You know, is a sower. This man right here, your pastor, is a sower. And so that's what he's talking about. This will help you. This will help us preachers out. Amen. This is encourage us. And he said, the sower, in verse 3, and he spake many things in parables, saying, "Behold, a sower went forth to sow, and when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. And some fell on stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth." That's about most of our churches right now. "And when the sun was up, they were scorching, because they had no root." Uh-oh, they withered away. "And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But others fell in the good ground and brought forth fruit, some an hundredfold, some 60-fold and some 30-fold. And let me say right there that God, it doesn't matter to God. God ain't in numbers. By the way, it doesn't matter. He said some 60-fold, some 100-fold, some 30-fold. It was all the same to him. Amen. That's why I say there is no small church. People say, well, I just got a small church. Hey, the church of God. I'm talking about the people that have been born again. It's not small. Amen. And y'all need to realize that here this morning. This is a small building, but this is not a small church. This thing's bigger than just this little community right here. Bigger than this. And y'all should encourage yourself in the Lord. Amen. Because sometimes the devil tries to say, well, you just go to that little church over there. No, it's bigger than that. Amen. I'm talking about a seed that's powerful. I want to talk a little bit about this seed, okay? This seed, there's different types of seed. The seed, of course, is the Word of God.
Right.
You ought to know that by now. The seed is the Word of God. And let me say this, there's different types of seed, and I just want to mention these because it'll help you get an idea of how a seed works. Now, who's farmers in here? Who's planting a garden? Anybody plant a garden or anything in here? So you know a little bit about seed. Okay, this will help you out. Okay, there's a spore seed. It's a phenotype. That means it's a visible seed. That's the seed you actually put in your hand before you plant it. And so this spore seed, it's a phenotype, it's visible. You can see it. But there's also a seed that's within the seed, okay? That is a genotype. It's called the sperma. It's an invisible seed. You can't see. And what it is, it's the life that is within the seed. And so you can't see it. That's why you can't see the Holy Ghost. But he lives within inside of you if you're born again. And no man has seen God at any time, the Bible says. But there's a seed, but there's an invisible seed inside this, okay? And so you have this invisible seed. And then you have the semination. That's the life within the seed. That's this invisible seed that you see here. The life within the seed. Then you have a dissemination, which is the spreading of the seed. And so you're spreading the seed. This is the preacher that's here. This is a parable of the sower. This is a parable of the sower. So what he's talking about, the sower is spreading seed here. This will help us preachers out. So you have the dissemination, you have the spreading of the seed, you have the insemination, the germination that takes place and roots, something happens beneath the surface that you can't see. And fruit comes out from this. So we have over 783,137 words in this Bible. We have 31,102 verses, and we have 1,189 chapters. There's one seed, but there's many seeds. This right here is your seed. This is it right here. The Word of God is your seed. And then you have a sower here. And let me just talk about this. And we'll try to help your preacher out because I love him. The seed is not the problem. There's no problem with the seed.
Right.
He's perfect. Even though the sower might be imperfect because we're not perfect like Jesus. But as if the sower is disseminating the seed, spreading the seed, then there's no problem with the sower. The problem is the ground. How many times have you witnessed to somebody or gave a gospel tract? And we did a lot of street ministry when I was a kid and raising, because my dad was raised on and saved from the streets. And that was his burden. We did a lot of street ministry there, and we still try to do some when we get a chance. But the problem was not the seed, and it's not the sower. But there's been many times I give somebody a tract or I witness to somebody. Let me just say this. It's okay to invite somebody to your church, but why don't you go ahead and ask them if they're born again? Why don't you go ahead and ask them if they're saved? And so just go ahead. I know the devil tries to just tell us, well, just invite them to church. And that's okay if you're a little nervous. I understand starting out. But I'm telling you, it's so important. Time's running out. It's so important That we ask people, have you ever been born again? Have you ever been saved? And so what we have is sometimes you'll witness to somebody and they say, I don't want to hear it. Yeah, I go to church. I'm whatever. And you find that that seed is not penetrating. And there's different types of ground. I ain't got time to go through that. But your pastor, he pastors this church and he knows that there's different types of ground. Then there's other times that you preach and you spread the seed, you witness to somebody and God's prepared their heart and it's good ground.
Right.
And then you notice I've led somebody. I picked up a hitchhiker one time and before I got 3 miles down the road, he was bawling and I pulled over and he got born again inside my truck. How? He was good soul. He was prepared. That was good soul. Because a lot of times as preachers, we preach and we get discouraged sometimes. And we wonder why that the seed is not taking ground. It's not because of anything we done. It's because, and it's not no problem. As long as you're using this King James Bible, let me say that. I know you ain't got no problem here. I know your preacher stands on this word of God. It's the imperfect word of God. And as long as you got this Bible, you got a perfect seed. And as long as, did I say something I shouldn't? Oh, it's perfect word of God. Help me. My wife's laughing, so I said something I shouldn't have. Perfect word of God. Amen. Help me, sister. Amen. So we find that if you're spreading this seed out, the perfect word of God, then you're doing the duty that you're supposed to do. And you'll find that it's the soul. He'll have somebody come in here that's excited. And they'll come in and they'll be, preacher, I'm here to help you. Anything you need, I'm here to help you. I got your back. I want you to know that I'm here. 6 months later, he can't find them. Or they say, preacher, well, I believe God wants me to go down the road. Or preacher, I believe this. And you can study these souls. See, what was that? Well, that was the one that that fell on the wayside. That was the one that fell and sprung up. And then all of a sudden, the sun scorched them and they're gone.
Yeah.
Like a firework. Just, I'm in, I'm wide open. Then all of a sudden, they're gone. Amen. So you find that you have the preacher's work. You have the preacher's war. He wars with disappointment. That's what he wars with. Preach a message. I think, man, that was a flop. That was a flop. Man. You know what happened? It didn't land in good soil. There was no problem with the seed. So, you're not to control how the seed goes into the soil. You can't control that. You're to spread the seed. The seed goes into the soil. They either accept it or they reject it. Look over in Mark. Well, I got to hurry. Let's go over to Mark chapter 4. This is the parable of the sower over in Mark chapter 4 also. In verse 1, and he began to teach by the seaside. Verse 2, and he taught them many things by parables and said unto them in his doctrine. This is a good doctrine here. And I want to jump, for sake of time, I'm going to jump to verse 9. And he said unto them, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear. Okay? Verse 13, and he said unto them, know ye not this parable? And how then will ye know all parables? The sower soweth the word. What is Jesus saying? He's saying, if you don't get this parable, how do you get to other parables? You know what God's heart is? God's heart is this parable. You ought to study this parable. If you don't get this parable, God said, how are you going to get to other parables? See, this is actually the autobiography of Jesus Christ's ministry. You say, what are you talking about? There was no problem with his seed. But even some of his seed, preachers, landed on stony ground. You got four different types of ground here. Only one of them is good ground. Only one of them takes seed. Only one of them produces fruit. So what is that? That's a 75% fail rate. You say, Jesus didn't fail. But the seed that he spread had a 75% fail rate. And us preachers sometimes think, just because we think it flopped or something, we think it's 100, we got to have 100% success rate. No, that's not the way it is. He was saying, if you don't get this, and he was telling his disciples, you won't get the rest of it. It's for us to sow, not to worry about the outcome. It's for us to sow. This is what happens, okay? I'm going to try to help you. I just got to bring out some things. In verse 20, it says, and these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, some 100-fold. And right in the middle of this, and he said unto them, here it is, you kids know the song, is a candle brought to me and put under a bushel? Hide it under a bushel, no? Y'all know that song? Or under a bed, and not to be set on a candlestick? For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. If any man have an ear to hear, let him hear. He's talking about the seed and the sower, and right in the middle of this, he said unto them, is a candle brought and put under a bushel? He's talking about the bushel, hiding the seed, hiding the light. Right in the middle of this, he's talking about the light brought and to put under a bushel or under a bed and not to be set on a candlestick. For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested. You know what's important? For us to sow the seed. Don't hide it. Sow the seed. This is what happens. We're talking about the power of the seed, right? We're talking about the power of the seed. Verse 26. And he said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground. He's talking about the kingdom of God. All right, this is what happens. And should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. That's the power. There's things happen in this church that your preacher can't explain, where God has met his need or God has taken care of him. And he's like, I don't know, God just done it. What is happening? The seed, there's no problem with the seed. The seed is getting germination. And the seed is doing what God said for it to do. He said, my word will not come back void, but it accomplished that which he'd put forth. And so he said, he goes night and day, he sleeps and should spring up ground. He knoweth not. Verse 28, for the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying, sow seed. Sow seed. Don't worry about the outcome. Sow seed. And while you're sleeping, God is doing something. That's the power of the seed. While you're worried about all the little details and everything, and you're worried about making sure this is done or that's done, and you're worried about all the admin stuff, God is working. God, because you sowed seed, God will take that seed, and while whether you sleep or whether you're awake, God is working. God is doing something. And it says in verse 29, but when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. And he said, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God, or with what comparison shall we compare it? It's like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown, the earth is less than all the seeds that is in the earth. Less than all the seeds that is in the earth. But when it is sown, it groweth up and becometh greater than all herbs, and shooteth out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. It's not about size. There's no small church. The mustard seed is the smallest seed. You're just the sower. This is a precious seed. It's a promise seed. It's a powerful seed. What am I supposed to do with it? Just sow it. It doesn't matter how big, how small. It doesn't matter who you are, if you got disabilities or anything. It doesn't matter. God created you just like he wanted you. and you were created for His pleasure. Revelation 4:11, Thou art worthy to receive power and glory and honor, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. God done that. The mustard seed, so little. It's just a little thing. You think you go to a little church? No. This ain't no little church. This is God's church. When God gets behind something, He said, I will make it grow, and it will nourish me, and it will be bigger than anything you ever imagined. We'll never know till we get to heaven what this little church, White Oak, has done for the glory of God. Look at the missions that y'all do. There's seeds going everywhere. I'm here to tell you, don't quit. Keep it up. Go forth weeping. Have compassion. If you see a sinner, have compassion. If you see somebody in need, have compassion. Who's going to tell them? And bear the seed. Get a burden. Get a burden for your church and this community. Get a burden for your missionaries. Get a burden. Bear the seed. And He says, you shall doubtless come again, rejoicing. You never know till you get into heaven. And God says, hey, you remember that person you gave a tract? You remember this? You remember that? You'll never know. I heard a story the other day, and I'm done. A guy gave a tract out of Krispy Kremes in Branson, Missouri. Gave a tract. And 8 years later, the guy was, he said, I'm an atheist. And he ripped it up in front of him. Said, I don't believe in God. I'm an atheist. Don't believe in God. He ripped it up. But he wouldn't throw it on the ground because he didn't want to litter. Stuck it in his pocket. 8 years later, a friend of mine was there when he walked in. He come in the back of the church, and he still had that ripped tract. And he said, could somebody show me how to be born again? He said, I never could throw this thing away. And I've read it, and I want to know the Jesus that I was told about. You never know. So keep, sow the seed. Keep sowing for the glory of God. Amen.